Blog Talk Radio.
Another city or another state
around the country. I would love to hear what your weather is like. Well, I tell you, we got some interesting stuff going on here in the North Jersey area. Very, very interesting. Even if you're in other parts of the state of New Jersey, I would love to hear about what you have on this December the 27th, just two whole days after Christmas. Talk about post-Christmas. So here we are, Monday morning, marvelous Mondays. And I know some people would beg to differ because they would be like, all of that snow, where can I go? However, that's why we have technology. You know, when you stop to think about it, a lot of the technology that we're using right now, especially the computer itself, and then this whole internet access, you know, fax machines and things like that, texting, cell phones, has really made it so that communication can really be endless, even though the weather is bad and you can't go out. I talked to a sister of mine who works in the federal government, and I believe that if President Obama didn't do it, he is trying to pass a bill as it relates to them working from home. They're trying to push that, you know, the majority of the federal government get set up so that individuals can work from home, telework, so that in cases like this, so you couldn't go to work, but you could work from home. Since you can't go to work, and we have to pay you. Because, you know, last year they had, you know, like 2 or 3 weeks where they were out of work because they had gotten 50 inches of snow. So I think we're probably up to about 15, and with the drift, probably somewhere around 30 or more. But what a morning, what a morning. And the wind is howling. I can hear it whistling. I haven't heard the wind whistle like this in a long time. I mean, really, it is really whistling loud. You probably can hear it. So I haven't heard that in a while, so it really takes me back and reminds me of when I was a child growing up in Cincinnati, Ohio. And it got very windy there, very cold. We never got snow this high, but we did get a lot of snow. So welcome to the show today. Now, I hope you had a very, very, very wonderful weekend thus far. If you are still on vacation, welcome to the show, and I do apologize for getting you up so early. However, if you're in New Jersey, you may have to get up anyway because you may have to go out and shovel. I'm going to let you think about that for a moment. But we are going to continue our discussion today. What we were talking about, finding that true love. The topic today, we're going to do part two of finding your true love. And you want to, you know, it's for some people, it's not for everyone. And I know Kelly called in last time, and she had some really, really, really powerful things to say. So hopefully, Kelly, you're on the line again this morning. But if not, whoever is out there, now you know we say out there is out where. Well, if you're on and you want to speak to the host, all you have to do, and that's me, that would be me, you just have to hit your number one key. And that way I will know that you're in the queue and I will bring you in. I also want to give birthday shout-outs to all of those of you who have had a birthday over this past weekend, Saturday or Sunday. I know Miss Vicki Scott, she had a birthday, and I know that Miss Tina, her mother, had a birthday, and I think there are several others that had a birthday, so we definitely want to wish you a wonderful, wonderful birthday. What a great time of year to have a birthday. So, I tell you, finding that true love is going to happen. It's going to happen for you. And you know why? Well, if you want it, you're going to get what you want. You're going to get what you want. Now, some people, they don't really want it. And so, like some people, they wonder, why they haven't found true love or why they haven't found that love of their life. But you know what? In reality, they probably really don't want it. Because, you know, what you want, you really shall have. You really shall have it. And you're going to have everything you say. Now, here's how you won't find true love. You won't find true love if you, let's just deal with women for now. Can I just deal with women? It's hard for me to talk to both women and men in one breath. I have to kind of separate it, the women and the men. So let me speak for women. And I really was hoping that my husband would come and join us to speak for the men. And if he doesn't this morning, he's probably trying to get some extra rest so that he could get ready to go out and shovel that snow out there. And I would definitely love to hear from the Cincinnati team to see what your weather is like there. But right here in New Jersey, we have about 15 inches, almost 2 feet of snow right outside our garage. I couldn't even open the door. I've tried to open the door last night to look outside. The door, I couldn't even open it. And it was so windy. It was still snowing when I went to bed around 11 o'clock last night. It was still snowing, and it had started snowing around 11 a.m. So it had been snowing 12 straight hours here in New Jersey and very windy at the same time. But I have to admit, it is absolutely gorgeous. It's very beautiful. But we do send up our prayers for those who are trapped and they are alone, seniors right now. We do send up our prayers for them, and we do pray that there are enough rescue people available that they can go and get people out of trapped situations that is unsafe and unhealthy for them. And so we do want to thank God for individuals who are safe. There was a lady on Facebook last night. She posted a picture of what her driving was like, and everyone that commented was like, "Can you please go home? Why are you out? What are you out doing?" I'm not sure, but I believe she works for the airlines. And sometimes some jobs you just have to go in. Like if you're in the medical field, if you're in the medical team, there are some stores that will try to be open. People need provisions. And I think I said something like this. I guess one man's medicine is another man's poison. But here I was. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. And others are like, oh, no, not the snow. Oh, no, the snow must go. So not everyone is happy. So I posted that on Facebook about let it snow, let it snow. And there were, I said, boy, someone must have prayed for a white Christmas. And several people confirmed. They said, well, it probably was my children. It probably was my children who prayed for it. So good morning and welcome. I see that some of you are using our new 800 number. You're taking advantage of that because we don't want you to incur any charges while you're on the air with us. While you're on the air with us, we don't want you to have to pay for that. So we now have added this service, and we are going to be asking for individuals to purchase either one of the books, or you can also purchase a recording of any of the shows. If there's any other shows that you would like to purchase a recording, a CD of the show that you can listen in your car or in other places, please, you can inbox me or email me, and that is the funds that we will use to actually pay for the premium services that we're offering now through the Coach and Lisa show, and there will be other services coming. But we do have some exciting, exciting, exciting information to tell you about, and I think you're going to absolutely enjoy it. But also, we want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to those of you who are tuned in this morning on this very, very precious Monday morning when the weather is absolutely looking so, so terrible. Now, also, there is another thing that is happening for people in this time of year. It's another reason why we wanted to do the message today. This time of year is also a time where a lot of people get tricked into relationships. And so, especially, especially, especially the women. Oh, my goodness. So I really wanted to help women. So, ladies, now, here's, you know, here's where sometimes with women, you know, I really want to, you know, speak to the women. Now, here's women, for those ladies who are wondering, why haven't I met someone? I'm going to go back to that question. I know Hope thought I wouldn't get there. I'm here, Hope. Here's the thing. You're not going to find a true love if you're saying things like, men are dogs. God forbid you say all men are dogs, but just the fact that men are dogs. So if you keep saying, if you were a woman who was always saying our thinking becomes our actions. So if you were saying, if you're always saying men are dogs, if you even think that, your subconscious then is blocking you from finding a man that isn't, because you've already put in the universe that they're dogs. So you're going to attract men that are dogs. If you say, well, all men are so insensitive, or all men are lazy. Well, guess what? Just about every guy you meet will be one that probably doesn't really want to work. Or if you say, no, all the men I meet, they never have money and this, this, and that. Again, you're putting it out there in the universe. Is your thoughts. Your thoughts are attracting, and those are what you try to typically attract. Do you get that? You see how that it works? It really, I'm telling you, you don't have to believe the law of attraction. You don't have to believe any of the founders of the law of attraction or any of the presenters or facilitators. You don't have to believe it, but it does work. You know, I mean, maybe you believe the Bible, and it says, as a man thinketh, so is he. I've never read the Quran, so I cannot quote from it. But I know people that I could get on here that could speak to it. I can go right to my sister. She has been a Muslim for years, and about good over 20 years. I could call her up, and she'd tell me what it says. Some of you know. And almost every religion or every belief has something to that effect. That you become what you think, or you are what you think. So it is true. So if you're thinking, they're no good, they're nothing, they're this or that, whatever you're thinking is what you're going to attract. And then when you get it, you're like, what is this? I didn't order this. Yes, you did. So those are some of the things that, for some people, that could be either stopping you from finding a true love. Or you're finding people and they end up a mess. Well, you thought they were a mess before you ever got them. Here's another problem. If you're always thinking, she always gets the good guys. Who is she? Anyway, so that's what you're thinking. Well, guess what? Again, you're going to notice that you're coming up short, or that whoever this she is, that, because first of all, you don't know how good they are, actually, because you can't see on the inside. You only know what you see on the outside. You don't know what people have to go through to keep their true love and to keep their wonderful, wonderful marriages. But it's all good. You know, the thing is, what I really want to impress upon you is that it is possible to find your true love, to find your soulmate. And by the way, I did find that couple that I was telling you about, and the name of their book, Friend, Lovers, and Soulmates. That's the name of their book, Friend, Lovers, and Soulmates. And his name is Derek, and her name is Darlene. Can you believe it? Derek and Darlene. I believe it's Hobson. For some reason, it won't stick Hobson or Dobson, but they are both psychologists, and they have written many books about family and relationships, because that's what they specialize in. So Derek and Darlene Hobson, and I believe it's Hobson, but let me just double check and make sure, because I want you to absolutely go out and get their book. And it's entitled Friends, Lovers, and Soulmates. Friends, Lovers, and Soulmates. It's very good. Well, it's a good book. Yeah, Hopson. H-O-P-S-O-N. H-O-P-S-O-N. Now, I don't know where my copy is today. I had the book back in 92. Back in 92 or 93. Friends, Lovers, and Soulmates. And they give a lot of, it says a guide to better relationships between black men and women. Black men and women. And the authors are the Hopsons. You can still purchase the book. You can get it right on Amazon. You can still get a copy of the book. They used to do a lot of seminars. Oh, actually, okay, it looks like the book came out maybe somewhere around 90-something. Yeah, 1990, it says you can look inside the book. I would love to look inside and quote a few things from the book just so that you can get a feel for it. The book, let's see, when did it come out? 1994. Yeah, I knew I had something somewhere around 92 or 3, but okay, actually 94. Now let's look at some of the topics. Some of the topics in this book are, part one deals with setting the stage for love. Setting the stage for love. It answers the question, what is a soulmate? Then it deals with the Africa and the American experience. It deals with a section entitled Looking Forward, Learning to Love Ourselves. Now, see, we talked about that on last week. We talked about before we can go out here trying to love someone else, we must first love ourselves. They talk about the same thing. They also talk about the patterns of our relationships. And that would be that law of attraction piece, too. Look at the patterns of the past relationships that you've already had. They also talk about giving us some tools to make it work. And they give 12 lessons for developing intimacy. Because without intimacy, and then they also talk about the art of communication, learning to talk, learn, and learn to listen. Learning to talk and learning to listen. Do y'all think that's important now? That sounds very, very important to me. So here they are giving us 12 lessons for developing intimacy and then the art of communicating and learning, which are both things that you need in order to make a true love work. Again, you can find your true love, but can you build it into a true love that will actually last beyond the honeymoon, the marriage? And then part four says, confronting the tough issues. And that's the part nobody likes to deal with. And so, well, some people do. But, I mean, for the people who are not having a loving relationship, that's probably why. Probably, I say. Again, just my personal opinion. Why? Probably because they have not confronted the tough issues. And then sometimes when people don't want to confront, they run. They leave the scene. And so in that section, they talk about the enigma of sex, the risk of infidelity, frank talk about work, money, and power. Oh, now see right there, the power, that's key. Because I found out that in marriage especially, and probably even in a very long-term relationship, there's this battle of power between the man and the woman. And it causes so many other problems in the relationship that it's hard to build a true loving relationship because he's fighting for power and she's fighting for power. Both wanting to be right, both wanting, that's power. When we both feel that we have to be right and you're fighting for that, this is like a power, it's a power, they call it power struggle. Sometimes you see this at work, and sometimes you see it with children and parents. There's this power struggle. Then dealing with our race, there are some things that we inherited from our culture as it relates to relationship. Then it talks about family, friends, and spirituality. Now, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to go and get this book again. Now I got to really get it because in 94, when I got the book initially, I had only been married 4 years and probably still in a more of a blissful stage and thinking that everything is going to work just because we're together, not knowing that nothing works just because you're together. It works because you work on it. Not even a job. No, not even a job is successful just because you got the job and now it's working. No. A job will be great and wonderful. You'll have promotions. You'll advance. You'll grow. You'll develop when you work at it. So that's a job. That's a relationship. That's family. That's in a business. That's in anything you do. It will work when we work it. That's it. There's no magic. No magic tricks here. There's no wand. This is not Cinderella. No one's going to come and wave a magic wand over you. Or, you know, this isn't Wizard of Oz, where, you know, the Glinda, the good witch, is going to show up in her beautiful outfit and twinkle, twinkle you. Somebody's going to twinkle, twinkle you. And those stories are great, and we know fairy tales are wonderful. But I don't know if they've done any damage to some of us, because then we get this down in our psyche as children that something is, you know, mystical is going to happen on our behalf. Then when it doesn't show up, oh, my God. And I definitely want to open up the phone line for Miss Adele Foster to chime in here. But before I bring her on, I just want to say, I wonder, well, she's on, but I wonder who I should call this morning and surprise with my new technique to be able to dial out. So while I bring Miss Adele on to share in this topic this morning, I'm going to be thinking about who can I call. Good morning, Adele. Welcome to the show today.
Good morning, LaLisa. You know, as always, I was just going to listen, but then as you started talking about relationships, I thought about a book that I wrote. And so I said, oh, I got to get on this call.
Okay, great. You wrote a book on relationships?
Yes. Actually, I co-authored the book. It's called Developing Healthy Male-Female Relationships.
Wow.
And I'm a co-author with Dr. Forrest A. Parker. So the two of us co-authored this book together a couple of years ago.
Tell us more. Tell us more about it. What is going on?
Well, listening to you, and the first thought came to mind, because you were talking about some people who are looking for relationships, wanting to be in relationships, and the first thought came to mind was the book. And then I thought about what's in the book. In the back of the book is actually an application. It's a four-part relationship application, because most of us don't take an application when we go into a relationship. We just go into it with, as females, we go into it with our emotions, with our heart. And as males, we do think logically. But, you know, you got both perspectives. You got me talking from a female perspective, and then my co-author, he's talking from a male perspective. But the first thing in the book talks about know thyself, because most of the times we go into a relationship and we don't really know who we are. So it's really a dynamic book. So I'm listening to you, and I'm like, oh, my God, I just need to get on and at least give a few tips or tidbits from the book.
Please do.
You know, one of the things, I mean, you touched on quite a few things, even with the other two authors that you spoke about, and I would love to get their book because I'm always interested in relationships. But I want to talk about it from a female perspective, because we as females, we love hard. We love really hard. And then our hearts are always broken, and we don't take time first to just understand who are we as individuals and getting to know ourselves and putting our past behind, because a lot of things that stop us from going into relationships is our past experiences. And instead of just looking at our past experiences, we need to learn to start forgiving first. I think forgiveness plays a big part. And forgiveness first starts at home, starts with ourselves, because we congregate a lot of things in our mind and in our hearts, and we kind of live by that. And, you know, you brought up one of my favorite scriptures, as a man thinketh, or I'll go as a woman thinketh, so is he or she. So we got to first think, what of our thoughts? How do we visualize? Where do we see ourselves being like in a relationship, because we too have a part that we play in a relationship, and we have to understand what part are we going to be playing in that relationship. It's almost like characters or actors and actresses on the stage. We're playing a part, but what part do we really want to play and live out for the rest of our life?
Wow. And okay, so you heard it right here, everybody. Miss Adele Foster has co-authored a book on relationships. You can get her information. Some of you are already connected to her from Facebook, but she can also give you her website. And I know you also have a conference call today. Is that open to?
Yes, I have a conference call today. I'm looking forward to it. Let me just say this. You can get the book from my website, but you also can get it on Amazon.com. And you can also purchase it from BN.com, which is Barnes & Noble's, and it's also in Barnes & Noble's bookstore. So however way you want to get the book, it is available that way. We do have a teleconference today, and I'm excited about it. Thank you for bringing that up, LaLisa, because I'm really, really looking forward to this teleconference. It's doing what my passion is, and that's to help others get out there, help others get exposure, be marketed in the right kind of way, because most of the times we look for exposure, we look to gain exposure, but we just don't know how to do that. And as you know, LaLisa, my passion, my desire is really to help speakers and authors and trainers and even business people and artists, because there is a way that we can get exposure. So yesterday at 12 o'clock your time, which is Eastern Standard Time because I am on Central Time, we will be hosting a teleconference. And for your listeners that are on the call that are interested in learning how to get more exposure via television and radio. And that's right, I said television because I'm not talking about internet television. I'm talking about regular television that we sit down and watch. How can you get more exposure doing that? You can call in. The dial-in number is 559-546-1000. Again, that's 559-546-1000. And the access code is 352233#. And I'm looking forward to having people on the call because I know it's going to be a powerful, dynamic call because I have someone who I've collaborated with who actually has over 10 years experience in radio and television. And he is actually going to share with you how to gain this exposure for 2011. And thank you so much, LaLisa, for bringing that up.
Okay, what's the number? One more time. 559-546-1000. Okay.
And the access code is 352233.
Okay, that's easy enough. Okay, great. Awesome. And so wonderful. And that's going to happen at 12 noon. Well, you picked. You need to really promote in the Northeast because they can't go anywhere. People are home, and they have no choice but to be home today.
I know. I heard about the snow. Oh, it was so funny because a friend of mine who's actually from New Jersey was trying to get out on Saturday morning, and she called me from the airport, and she said, "Adele, I'm turning back around." I said, "What do you mean you're turning back around?" She said, "There's no planes leaving out of here." She said, "I can't get out of here." And
yep, they close the planes, even though the snow didn't start till Sunday. But they shut the airport in Newark. They canceled a lot of flights on Saturday.
Well, I'll tell you, she wasn't in Newark. She was in North Carolina. But they started canceling flights out of North Carolina on Saturday. And North Carolina also got snow, too. And, you know, they're not used to snow. So, yeah, they started canceling flights real fast.
Yes, that's, well, wow, even North Carolina. Well, I'm sure I would love for people to share what some of their experiences were with the snow? Like, how much did they get, in other words? I would love to hear about that. But there's a lot of things going on, so this is just really a time to utilize all your gifts and talents. You know, I think about, I think about the scripture that says, at your hand, do it with all your might. You know, do it. And then we know in another part, it talks about that everything you do shall prosper. And then I listened last night to a person on teaching, a Bible teacher, and I couldn't believe it. I haven't listened to this person in a very, very long time. But this person was going on and on and on about being busy and doing things, and he's already opened up 5 or 6 satellite churches, so he stays in one, and then he satellites himself in all these other major cities around, at least around the Ohio area. I believe he's going to branch out. And then he's just doing so many things. He was telling the people, like, don't try to slow me down, people. I'm on a mission. He says, when I leave here, he was telling his congregation, what do you want them to say? That, okay, you were nice, you married this guy, you had sex, you made a baby, you came to church, and you died? No, you went to work, and then you died? He's like, well, that's fine. If that's all you want read at your funeral. He said, but at my funeral, I wanted to be, you know, I want to have done some things before I left here. And I totally, totally was feeling him. I was totally, totally feeling him because here I was myself feeling that same kind of way. And actually, I had just recently, before I even turned the channel on to see him, had made a post on Facebook about, you know, what I want to be remembered. You know, what do you want people to remember about you? And it's not that we want anyone's attention. See, it's not about that. But unfortunately, when you are busy, there's two ways to get people's attention. Mediocre people in the middle of the road never get attention. Never. Forget it. You're never going to get anyone's attention. But there's two kinds of ways to get people's attention. That's to either be super busy or to be super doing nothing. And both people will get noticed. It's because you're like outliers. You're like, you're on the outskirts. And so you're going to get noticed better than the people in the middle of the road. And so, you know, but people think that, you know, oh, you're too busy. I mean, this guy, he ran it down. When he says, okay, he says, when he talks, like he says to people, okay, go get your education, go to college. And then he says, now what's your excuse for not going? He says, well, people say to him, well, I'm too busy. He's so funny. He says, well, let me tell you about your little busy life. He says, you do this, this, and that. He says, well, this is what I do. And he says, I do 9 services. I got this and that. I've got a staff of 50. I'm blah, blah, blah. And I'm doing this. And I'm starting as this, this, and that, and this, and that. He says, I haven't had any real sleep in the past week. He's married. He's going to have 6 children, 3 still at home. This man's only about 40. I mean, I said, wow. So, you know, I just bring that up for people because I really know that, you know, I love you, and we talk about that true love. Because what if the true love person that God wants to bring you is a person that is like me, that is very busy? How are you going to handle that? Are you going to sit at home and whine? Oh, you're never around. Oh, you're never here. Oh, you're never with me anymore. Because they'll be with you that first week, months or so. So you got to figure out what kind of person you are before the relationship comes. Are you a whiner? Oh, you never get me anything. Oh, you never take me to dinner anymore. Oh, you're always with your friends. Oh, you never do this, you never do that, you never. Or we never. Oh, we never go over there, blah, 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 blah. Or are you a complainer? Some people are complainers in a relationship. How come you're doing it that way? Why come you got to do it like that? Why didn't you do it like this? Why can't you be like that? You got the complainers. You got the complainers. You got the whiners. And you need to know what you are before you go into that. And that's what we talked about on Friday about. You have to know who you are. You have to be able to make any necessary adjustments. Remember, the way we are comes from our belief system, and our belief system is what we learn through our life experiences or things that were taught to us as we were developing and growing up. So if we really want to have that true love, now, yes, and I am so glad you mentioned that you have a book about relationships and how to have a good relationship between a man and a woman. I'm glad you have that. I'm also glad for the other books out there that we mentioned last week as well, His Needs, Her Needs. That's a very good book. Now, yes, while it is very helpful to read for the one person, it would be great if you could also get the suspecting partner to read, the person that if you are married already, fine. If you're still looking for the true love, you can get them. And then when you find them, say, can you read this first? And now discuss it. Read it and discuss it. Any of these books that you can get, Adele's book or the Hobson's book, any book that you can get, read it and then discuss it. Now, if they don't want to read the book, that's a sign right there. That should be a sign to you. If they say, I don't want to read, I don't like to read, well, then say, now, they may not know how to read. So if they say, I don't want to read, don't just assume the worst. Then ask, can I read it to you? Because the key is that they want to hear the information, that they want to hear the knowledge, the experiences that's been poured into the book that can help them and help your relationship. So, you know, read the book to them. And if they don't want to hear it that way, now that should be a sign that this person, it's a couple of things you can read out of that. If the person doesn't want to read a book of information about a relationship and they're trying to convince you that they love you, or they're trying to convince you that you all should go and have sex together because I really love you. Not everybody's going to end up like the Jacksons, and you'll see how that even turned out. I was watching the Jacksons the other day, and I know some of it is fiction. They had to make it fiction to make the movie. They couldn't tell the true story, but when he told her, well, I was going to marry you anyway. Well, not everybody ends up like that. So you don't want to just go off and have sex with someone that tells you, well, you know, I love you anyway. Well, let's read about it first. Let's read about this. Let's read this. If you say, well, I don't have time for that, you know, we got to go out and date. We got to go to the movies. We got to go play golf or tennis or go to the museum. We got to go shopping. We got to go walking in the park. We got all these things that we might feel are more important than for us to sit down and read a book. You're not that, you don't have that much to go do. Because, see, the walking in the park and the eating dinner and the going to the museum, all those things are wonderful. But all those things will also let a person mask who they really are. But if you can sit down and hold a conversation with them, let's talk, you and me, let's talk. This is a person that, and especially if you plan to sleep with them before you marry them, because I know a lot of people already have that on their agenda to do. I say don't do it, but you all know what you're going to do. Like I love when Reverend Thea says, y'all know what you're going to do anyway, so don't come here pretending like, you know, you're not. If you are, then that's what you're going to do. But still, you need to have a plan in place. But for those of you who know that you're absolutely going to wait, then fine. You have nothing to do. You have nothing but time. So read the book together. You can read it first. He can read it second, however you want to do it. And then discuss, what did you think about that? What do you, you know, what do you think about, you know, who's in charge of money? Who control? What do you think about the power struggles between men and women? Because let's face it. Just like you're going to read the book and not know about things in there, so will they. So will they. Just like it'll be enlightening for you, it'll be enlightening for them. Now, here's why some people are afraid to do that. They're afraid that the person will then say, I don't want this relationship. I'm gone. And they're fearful of being alone again, because for some people, being alone has been the worst thing in their life. Like they would rather suffer unemployment, loss of a loved one, a dear family member. There are a lot of people who would rather suffer a lot of things besides being lonely without a mate, I should say. A mate.
And Lisa, let me say,
go ahead.
Let me just say this. besides just reading, application. And you made another good, valid point. Some people are afraid to be alone. But you should try being with yourself first, so therefore you know who you are, so you'll know who you will be to that person in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. And because, again, the worst thing could happen is that you both discover, you know what, we shouldn't really be together. That's a good thing. Because now, I was on another site, and I was looking up some secrets to finding love. Now, here's what one site said. And I'm just going to read through these six things, and you can go back and read them in depth and study it a little bit more on your own. But I'm just going to tell you about the six things. I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out, because most of us, there's nobody on here on the line that's like 14 or 15 or 12. And how about 9, for that matter, that has never fallen in love? Because, you know, it really happens when it starts to happen when you're about maybe 9 and 10. I know younger, that's why you see a lot of, sometimes even get pregnant at age 9 and 10. Why? Because that's an age that a lot of girls think, boy, I love him. I just love him. And so with guys as well. Boy, I just love him. Unfortunately, sometimes when that happens, it's other things that go with that. So I won't touch that right now. That's another whole show. But I do have someone that I'm thinking of to bring on that's going to speak to that issue. But here's the six things that this person said, six secrets for finding true love. Number one, she said opposites really do attract, but don't try to be too opposite, okay? It says the idea is with the person who is opposite in style to us, okay? So if a man brings a certain emotional, intellectual skills to the table that a woman lacks and vice versa, they make a perfect team. If you're on the shy side and a more extroverted partner, that person will help balance your personality. Or if you are more of a logical person and a planner, and then you'll make a great team with someone who's spontaneous and creative. Now, that right there speaks directly to my situation with my husband. He is definitely logical and a planner. And I am definitely spontaneous and very creative. Therefore, we fit well even through the arguments and some of the bad times, okay? But sometimes when you get two of the exact same personality types together, there will be a different kind of a clash. Like with my husband and I, yes, we clash. But our clashes are compliments, because, again, to have two people that are always planning and always so logical, when would you have time to add spice and creativity to the marriage? It's going to probably be very planable, looking boring in a sense. But what happens in some couples is they try to make the other person like them, or they complain about the other person when they should be celebrating that person's difference. So there you have that. Now, keep in mind that finding someone who's our opposite in personality may mean stepping outside of your comfort zone when it comes to meeting people. Again, a person that's very shy may find, how can I meet somebody that's an extrovert? I'm too shy. But actually, because opposites attract, that person who is an extrovert, or maybe you're the extrovert, that very shy, is trying to attract you. Same thing with my husband. You know, it's funny when we talk sometimes, and he tells me, and it was confirmed through various people that knew him growing up, my husband was so shy. And he has a picture that we keep in our family room when he was like, I think he's like ninth grade. I'm telling you, he looked like a boy that didn't talk to anyone. But he's more outgoing, but he's more shy than I am, because I'll talk to anyone and hold long conversations with them, and very extroverted. But he's grown out of it a little bit. Sometimes people do grow out of it, especially because they're around you. And now your personality may pick up some of their personality. The same thing with a person who may not be much of a planner or very logical. But after being married for a while, to a person like that. You know, but you don't want to lose too much of your natural personality. So just because you're spontaneous, because in the beginning, your differences could cause you to, in the beginning, it brought you together and it's wonderful. But toward the middle of the road there, around that third, fourth, fifth year of marriage, it can cause you to argue and to separate. So that's how you got to remember. Number two, it says, but you can't be too different. So Dobransky recommends looking for partners with a personality that complements yours, that person being your opposite, but stresses that you still share similar dreams and goals. So we all need people who have similar beliefs, goals, and values. Again, if they believe that children, like say, for instance, you haven't had children yet, but if they believe that children should not be disciplined and they should just be able to run and do whatever they want, but you believe in strong discipline, well, that's not opposites of personality. That's going to be a huge clash. Or if you believe that money should be brought in first before we start spending, and they don't, that's not an opposite of personality. That's going to be a clash. That's an opposite of belief. Okay, so you want to get people that have a similar belief system. You believe in education, they believe in education. Maybe to different degrees. Maybe what education means to them might be different than what it means to you, but both believing in upward mobility and education, whether it's trade school, night school, college, hands-on experience, that's all education. Hands-on experience is a great education. Just a person who loves, like I know a person hasn't been to college, but they love to read. They read everything they get their hands on. You could catch them any day reading a novel, and they're already done, okay? Where you may find a person with college degrees like myself, it may take me a while to read one novel because I'm so busy and I'm all over the place. So you got to keep that in mind. Number three, you have to have mutual attraction. I mean, they can't loathe your appearance and, you know, and your sexuality. You have to love them for, you have to be attracted to them for various reasons, and they're going to be attracted to you for various reasons, and that physical attraction will make the relationship work. They may love your body, you may love their body. Okay, there you go. For lack of going any deeper, because I know we're going to be running out of time soon. So that was three. Opposites attract, don't be too opposite, and there should be mutual attraction, physical attraction. Now, number four, here's the key, friendship. Try to be friends with them. But again, how can you be friends with them if you're not friends with yourself first? How can you like someone else better than you like your own self? So lust without friendship does have its place, but a committed relationship isn't in it. No, there should be no lusting, first of all, if you are a believer, so you're already past that. You already know if it's lust there, you already know where that's headed. And so you have to have, if there's lust, you already know that that relationship is probably not going to last past a couple of weeks, past one night in the bed together. That relationship will just mysteriously end. Okay, so friendship, be good friends. And then number five, a key to finding true love is you must try to be a good judge of his or her character, not judgmental, but some men, and to be fair, she says, and some women too, just aren't committed material. Just understand that. Look at their life. Look at how many different women that they've had, and look at the intervals. Was it once every other year? Was it once every 6 months? You know, you might think, well, this person has taken me home to meet their mother. Well, when you get with mommy, ask her about some of his other dates. Mommy will usually tell you, trust me, she ain't got nothing to hide. And if mommy won't tell you, papa will. Somebody, that a girlfriend, sister, somebody going to tell you something. And when they tell you, accept it, appreciate it, listen to it. Don't say, well, he won't do that to me. Why not? He might do that to you. He may do worse. So be very, very careful. And then number six, he says, be honest about how good it is. Okay, he said, it's one thing to have realistic goals in finding a partner. It's another to settle for a relationship that doesn't truly make you happy. Yes, there are days that will be ups and downs, but overall, you want to have positive feelings about your partner. So check in with yourself periodically. Hello. Knock on your own mind, your own door, and say, how you doing? How's it feel? Don't be afraid to move on when things aren't going well. So that's the six tips that I'm sharing with you from a website that I found online. And you can find the same website if you just go to Google and type in Six Secrets to Finding True Love. See, the reason why I'm sharing this from this website, and I'm so glad Adele is also here, is it proves the point that there is help. There is information. All of this, oh, I fell in love. And then it ends up in a bad situation and people are hurt and destroyed and heartbroken. Why? When you could have went and gotten the information ahead of time. I told people at my relationship, I do a seminar called Relationship 101, and at the seminar, I tell my students this all the time at Essex, be careful when people say they're falling for you. I don't want anybody that's falling down. You know, we're so used to being that the great white hope that's going to lift them up and help them. If somebody's falling down, they're probably going to drag you down too. Let's not get so caught up in people who act like they're falling for us. Typically, that's sometimes a sign, especially these men who come around and want to give you a lot of things in the beginning. Sometimes that's a sign of control. And those individuals and research has shown that in a lot of abuse cases, domestic violence and abuse, that the person gave a lot of gifts in the beginning because that's their insecurity. They're insecure about their own personality, so they give you material things. And that sometimes can be a practice that a lot of people do in relationships. Yes, go ahead. Adele, did you want to make a point?
No, I'm just listening, Lalisa. You're making some great points, and you're absolutely right. Relationships are work, and we need to realize that from the very beginning, that it's work. Starting out, you need to understand that there's one thing. Yeah, let me just say this one thing, because you made the comment about when you first meet somebody, and I asked the question, when you first meet someone, who are you meeting? Are you meeting their personality or their character? And I want you to think about that. Who are you really meeting? Because most of the times we meet their personality first, and then their true self is their character. And that's the person you really want to get to know, is the character, that side of that person.
And you know what? And here's the other thing. Dr. Lee Jones is coming on tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning. Dr. Lee will be right here with us on Blog Talk Radio. So just in case, for those of you who are in the chat room, you can still hear, because we've extended the show a little bit longer so that we can continue this great discussion. I know some of you will probably have to run off. If you're in New Jersey, you may not run anywhere but to go outside and shovel. So you may as well chill for a minute. But if you're in other parts of the country around the world, you may have to go somewhere. You may have to leave, and certainly we wish you a wonderful, wonderful, awesome to post-today Christmas. And for those of you who can't wait to get back to work to hear all of your wonderful Christmas stories with your coworkers, I'm kind of glad I'm off today. Those stories always is like, okay, so I remember when I first moved to Jersey, it was like you get to work, people ask you, oh, how was your weekend? What happened? This and that. Only so that they can get a chance to tell you everything that happened with them. And they love when you say, oh, girl, I didn't do much. Oh, well, let me tell you what I did. I went here, there. I always thought that was so funny. But, yes, you know, in relationships can really be a wonderful thing. But we really want to talk about that piece where when you're not in a relationship with someone, that for some people Adele, is a very, very scary time. It's beyond sad. You know, sad, you could just play a couple of the... As a matter of fact, I was on YouTube the other day. I found all these old Delphonic songs, and they will help you through any love, loneliness, especially that one, The Love We Had Stays On My Mind.
Oh, my God.
I was playing all these old... The Delphonics, they had the 411, y'all, on love and breakups. Between them and the originals, I'll never hear the bells again if you leave me.
Oh, God. And now you're bringing back memories, Lalisa, bringing back old memories. Oh,
well,
what great.
If you're my age, you're close. Say it again.
That was music back then. That's what you call real music. You knew people really were in love back then because they just sung about it, and it was great music back then.
And the good thing, too, thank God in our era, that kind of music still brings good memories because nobody got shot at the party.
Right.
No one got, like these young people today, I don't know how they're going to have good memories of some of the places they party because they be shooting them up bang-banging at the parties. But
at the party, absolutely.
Yeah, like a kid in East Orange was at a party and they stomped them to death outside.
Oh, Jesus.
I don't understand those kind of memories, but our parties, no one ever got stabbed or shot or strangled to death. No one got raped. You partied, you danced, you thought he was cute, and you gave him a kiss, and you talked about it all the way as you walked home, and you made it home. And now for me, when I got home, I always got beat. So you would think I would have bad memories. When I got home, I got a beating from my mother because I was always coming in later than what she had told me. But those songs, certainly if you in a situation where love is, if you need to listen to some of those kinds of songs, but being lonely, you want to be careful when you are out of a relationship. Want to be because you're out of the relationship for a reason. You know, God has you by yourself for a reason. And if you miss it, if you miss the reason that you're alone, then when you meet someone, you're going to, that's why some people feel that they're incomplete, because you're going to go into that relationship, and it's not that they're going to complete you. You know, you didn't give God a chance to complete what he was doing in you. Therefore, somewhere through the relationship, things are going to start to happen. They're going to be problems and issues that you're going to need to deal with, but now you have the demands of this relationship. And you're going to be torn between which to work on, and then the easiest thing to work on will seem like the relationship because it's right there in your face. This person is putting demands on you, and then you're going to still further neglect the work that God wanted to do on you when you were by yourself. And some people are just no good at multitasking. Some people are very good at it, so some people will be able to manage both. They'll be able to, once they realize that there were some things that God didn't yet finish in them, they'll be able to kind of work on that a little bit and, you know, work on also the relationship. Because the relationship is not only that it takes work, a relationship is work. It is, not that it takes work, it is work. Any relationship is work.
It is always a work in progress, and I think that's something our listeners need to understand if they're looking at going into a relationship that it is always a work in progress. From day one, you first meet that person, you got to find out, is this going to work or is this not going to work? And am I willing to work with it? Because oftentimes we might see someone and we might think, oh, he or she is the best person in the world. But what comes along with it, are we willing to work with that?
Yes. Yes, are we willing to work? Are we willing to work, and how much effort do we want to put into it? You know, you can have a desire to have a certain kind of relationship, or you may feel that, you know what, I don't want to be in a relationship right now. But that's, it's really not up to you. It's not really your doing in total, because remember, God is still in control. So, again, if you are by yourself, whether you want a relationship or not, you are still to be working on yourself. Now, my mother, she was married just 9 months before she passed away. She met the man in July of 2004. She got married to him. Well, she met him maybe before that, maybe around. No, she met him a little bit before that, maybe the previous year. And maybe she met him in 03, yeah. And then they were dating, and they start dating. She met him. She was speaking at a woman's church at somebody's funeral, I believe, and she met him. They met. He was a bishop in that church. He wasn't the pastor of the church, but he was one of the bishops there. They didn't have a pastor, so they had various people who were serving at the in the leadership of that church. She went there, and maybe he thought, oh, wow, you know, this is my dream girl. I don't know. So they saw, my mother was 69, and well, she may have been 68 at the time. And here they were. They met, and they began to date, and they even drove here. They came here in 2004 in October when we did the Women of Power Conference right down there in JPAC. She drove up here with him. That's when I met him for the first time. I had heard her talk about him. Then that was October. That same November, they married. They married Thanksgiving. I drove to Cincinnati, me and my husband and my aunt and a few other people on my husband's side. They love my mother. We all drove down for the wedding. My husband sang in the wedding. He actually sang the song that Donnie McClurkin and Yolanda Adams sing together, "This Is Our Prayer." He sang that song. His cousin was supposed to sing with him, but she didn't. He sang it by himself. Well, beautiful wedding, all of that. So I just said that to say, but prior to my mother marrying him, she had been single for, it seemed like, almost a good 15 years. And I don't think she was out looking to get married. So that's what I mean. You don't have to be looking to meet someone in order to meet someone. And therefore, you still have to work on yourself while you're single. Because she met him, they got married, and, well, she passed away that following July in 05. You know, but, you know, you gotta realize that no matter how old you are, no matter, you know, I can't imagine her having planned her life that way, to get married at 69 and then pass at 70, just several months. Was it barely 9 months had gone by? So that, I said all that to say, I don't think we have all this control of our lives. Yes, God gives us a part to play. But my main part of sharing that is that she still needed to work on herself. All those years she was single, he should have been working on himself, because little did they know that one day they were going to remarry. He had already been married for years, and his wife, first wife, had passed away. And so you're never too old to stop. You can never get to the point where you say, well, I know God doesn't have anyone for me, so I don't need to work on myself. You still need to work on you. You still need to work on your personality. You still need to work on your likes and your dislikes. You still need to look at what your gifts, talents, and skills and abilities are, how you're using them. Now, don't forget, tomorrow, please come back to the show. We're going to have Dr. Lee Jones as our very, 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 very special guest. Some of you have already looked him up on the internet. He is the owner and the CEO of Inspire Magazine. It's a magazine about inspiration, how to be inspired, to be empowered. He also, and you're going to hear me refer to him as the King of Inspiration, which he says I coined that name for him, and he actually uses that on his website. So if you go to his website, which is mydesiretoinspire.org, you will see right there the first thing, King of Inspiration. So that's coming up. He'll be here tomorrow. I can't wait. excited. He has some powerful information to share with you. Wait until you hear it. You're going to truly, truly, truly be empowered and inspired. I will be reading more of his bio on tomorrow. It is truly awesome. Also, we want to remind each and every one of you about a couple of events that are coming up in the New Jersey area that I'm a part of. One is going to be on Saturday, March 12th. Saturday, March 12th, we are having the first International Christian Writer and Publishers Conference. So all of those of you who have that book inside of you, if you are an author, publisher, graphic artist, bookstore, book club, a publicist, a PR person, a literary agent, we're going to have everyone in the house on that day. We're going to have a panel of experts that can help you get your book. If you want to get your book in mainstream or if you want to self-publish, any way you want to do it, we're going to be there. We'll have people who have self-published, but we're going to also have a couple of authors whose books have actually been published through mainstream publishing, traditional publishers, they call it. We're going to have a couple of them there. We're going to also, the registration fee for that is $30. We're also going to have a writing contest for those who want to participate in that to get your book published. And you can enter to win a publishing contract. One person will get their book totally published through that. So that's happening March the 12th. So things are going to be popping and popping very fast. And that's March the 12th, 2011. You can find all the information on my Facebook page. Also, we have another event, awesome event coming up. Very, very powerful event, Kingdom Women Empowerment Convention, 2 days, Friday and Saturday. That's in April. We have a very, very powerful, dynamic women that are going to be speaking, Dr. Virginia Booth out of Philadelphia, Dr. Tanya Blout out of New York. You know, she's the editor-in-chief of Having Church for Women magazine. She's also the pastor of the Church with No Walls. We also have Pastor Rebecca Simmons. She is right here in New Jersey, but she is the pastor of New Creation Christian Fellowship. She's also the author of about 5 powerful books. She is also going to be one of the speakers, Ms. K. Serena Willow Weaver. You heard her on Friday. She's going to be one of the speakers. I will be also speaking. Our theme for that conference is For Such a Time as This. It's like with Esther. You have been prepared. You have been brought up for such a time as this. I'm not sure if Ms. Kiva is coming to dance. I didn't get a chance to read her entire post yet, but I'm praying that she's able to come. I'm praying that we have Elaine, we have Tina. We've already begun to fundraise for that conference so that it can be the greatest. It's just going to be awesome and amazing. But we'll be talking more about that on Sundays at 6 o'clock on our Sisters in the Spirit show, but I wanted all of you to know about that. Also in March, on March the 18th through the 20th, I will be in Atlanta, Georgia, speaking at the Women's Empowerment Conference. It's going to be in Atlanta, Georgia. It's going to be actually on March. It's going to be on March the 17th through the 20th. The 18th through the 20th. March the 18th. Through the 20th in Atlanta, Georgia. It's Women's Empowerment, and it's hosted by the Global Empowerment Group. It's going to be in Atlanta, Georgia at the Crown Plaza Hotel and Resort Center. Beautiful, beautiful place. You must RSVP by March 1st if you want to take part in that. So we'll be telling you more about that as we go along. And anything else that I have left out? Anything else that you want? Oh, yes, and don't forget, we have now a group on Facebook that you can join, Empowered to Release Your Power. Please join that group. If you didn't get your copy yet of Release Your Power, please, please, please go to my website and order your copy of that book because that book is life-changing. It will empower you. It will help you to grow, even if you feel that you're already there, because the chapter, it will challenge you in areas of change, in areas of making a self-assessment, in areas of journaling. Do you know there's a whole school of thought out there that journaling will produce and manifest your dream? You know, the Word of God says write the vision and make it plain so they can run with it. It's something about writing it down. There's one chapter in there that deals with that. Then speaking, we talk about it all the time. You can have what you say. How about you will have what you say? How about whatever you have is because you spoke it? You want to know what you got? Just look at what you got. Look at where you are. And then just backtrack your words over the past 6 months, 1 year, 10 years. It's what you've been speaking. It's what you're going to have. So that's happening. Also, we are definitely rolling on with some other projects like the television. We will be having conversations with some very, very big TV producers over the next several weeks. And all of this is to show the power and the purpose of woman, to show our power and our purpose. This is a time like never before to build up women. We are raising children, and many times we are still raising grown men. Let's face it, that's just how it is. Because mothers, y'all just want to baby them, so what do you expect? What do you expect? If you baby your son and don't make a man out of him, then what do you think is going to happen when we get him? We got to do the work. The other work. I'm not talking about the natural work that goes into any relationship. But now you got to do a lot of other things, like teach them about certain things that they were never taught. You know, somebody said that long time ago, we raise our daughters, and what do we do with our sons? Not a whole lot. Because we say, oh, his daddy needs to teach him that. No, you need to teach him. If daddy isn't there, trust me, you need to teach him. And, I mean, when you think about it, who better to teach a man anyway about what a woman feels than a woman? But no, if daddy's not there, you teach him how to be a man. You teach him how to care for a family when he gets one. You teach him how to fall in love with the right woman. You teach him that. You teach him how to work and take care of his family and himself. You teach him how to do laundry and how to cook and how to clean a house so that he can be a help to his wife. You teach him how to sensitive to her. You can teach him all those things. And you may not be able to teach him basketball and football and soccer, but all the other things you can, and the other stuff you can learn, and you can send him down the street to the Y or to the school or whatever. But the key thing that is really a man needs to be taught can be learned from a woman. Yeah, I wanted to pause on that for a minute because that needs to sink in for some people. And so we're going to be busy. We're going to be busy. We're going to be busy. Just know that. We're going to be busy. And if you're raising sons, don't think that. Don't wait until, oh, well, is daddy going to do it? No, you do it. You teach him how to love a woman. You teach him how to be sensitive. You teach him how to be kind. Teach him all the fruit of the Spirit. How about that? Teach him that. Long-suffering, patience. Just think about it. As a matter of fact, Gary, there's something to journal right there. Make a whole list of all the things that you want in a man, and now you just, as you're teaching him, just check it off the list. Who did that? Who taught him that? Who taught him that? Now he's well-equipped, whether he goes off to college, goes into the military, or just goes out there and gets a job and starts making his way. Now he's well-equipped. And now when he meets a woman, she will find you and thank you. She will thank you, probably treat you out to dinner every other week. She will thank you. Thank you, thank you. And so, anyway, back to, and I didn't call up anybody this time. Well, I didn't put anyone on the spot this morning. I could have called Beverly. I'm sure they're a little snowed in down there. She's always a good person. Did you notice how ready she was? Last week, she wasn't even bothered by it. She was like, oh, hey, good morning, y'all. She and I were very, very similar. That's how I would do it. Somebody called me, hey, good morning. I was waiting on you to call. But the love, the true love, finding your true love, you have to understand and respect one another. And here's another thing that you're going to need, and you probably have it, so you want to make sure they have it. You have to be able to forgive. If you have a relationship where you cannot forgive people, your new relationship is not going to last. Because what will happen is unforgiveness over time will turn into bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, that will turn into resentfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're going to be, over time, unforgiveness turns into bitterness and then resentfulness. And once you begin to resent people, then you'll begin to start pulling away. There'll be a lack of communication. Now, the lack of communication will bring on more unforgiveness and more resentfulness. Then as you have more unforgiveness and unreason, then you pull away even further, and now the door is open for someone else to come in. Because now this person, wherever they go, they will have this look about them. And a woman or man on the prowl will notice that look. You didn't even know you were looking that way. You thought your hair was done. You got on a nice suit. You thought everything was looking great. No. The predator can see behind all that. The predator. And there are lots of predators out there. They're everywhere. They're on the job. They're in the church. They're in the church. They're in the pulpit with you. They're CEOs. They're everywhere. They're lawyers. They're judges. They're nurses. They're storekeepers. They're everywhere. They're bus drivers. They're mail people. They're UPS people. They're fed. They work everywhere. They're in the schoolhouse. They're in the jail. They're everywhere. Predators. And predators can see behind you. And they can see that, you know what, that person ain't really happy. And they're going to have just one word to say to you. And your response, you give back. Sometimes they don't even have to say anything. They just look at you. Just the look that you give them will let them know to move in, to attack. You know, they taught me that about New York when I first moved here. You don't even look at people. You don't even look at people the wrong way. You don't even look at them. They just keep looking straight. Because when I first moved here, I was like, wow, what's going on here? Nobody speaks to anybody. And it was a culture shock coming from Cincinnati. And my husband said, and I met him right away, thank God. And my husband, a year after I moved here, and he was born and raised here, so he taught me a lot of the culture. And I was like, oh, okay. And he's like, don't. We used to go to New York all the time, and we would just sit over in the village and what have you. And he used to tell me, stop staring at people. I guess he was like, I don't want to fight, woman. I came over here to relax, not fight. You staring at people, you about to get a beat down in New York. And I learned that. They look straight ahead. They don't even want to look at you. But it's the same thing. A predator can just get them to take a look, and they can swoop in. Next thing you know, he's infidelity, she's infidelity, and you don't even know how you got there because you didn't really say anything. But it was what you were feeling, and it was that look, and then it could have been something that you said because predators are on the lookout. There are people who actually don't want anyone unless they're married. So if you want me to just make it real plain for you, because some of y'all don't believe this, there are some people, both male and female, they will not date you unless you're married. They don't want single people. And if you don't believe me, just get on Facebook and text it to Michael Bates. And he did a whole show on it. And people were calling in right and left, confirming on his live show on the radio, BLS or whatever station he's on, confirming that that's all they want. And I know too many people, as I'm sure some of you do, and maybe some of you don't, because not everybody knows their same thing. Maybe you never met anyone like this. I have. And some of them I met right in the church. Want to be with married people. So, again, when you're in that, you're going to meet someone, you're going to meet people. Let's just face it. And then if you find your true love, you also have to know how to nurture that relationship and keep it going so that you can stay married and not be out there looking every other 5 years. All right? You have to work with it, and you have to work on it, and work on it and work with it. If you are single, you are in a time of what? Preparation. This is a time to get to know who you are. This is a time to work on you. Yes, you're going to be busy doing things because you got all of our conferences to come to, so I'm going to keep you busy. But in the meantime, in between time, you have to, and all of our conferences are self-reflective type conferences. There's not one that I do that is just purely mush. All the ones that I do and are involved in are all conferences to enlighten you about you, to help you discover your talents, gifts, skills, and abilities, or to use them, which is another way to discover them. Using them helps you discover them. Sometimes you didn't know you had it until you used it. You didn't know you could do something until you actually got out there and did it. And now my true love, unfortunately, I thought he was going to be able to come to the show, but he's on his way outside to shovel these 20 inches of snow. I don't think he's in such a great mood, so I guess I better get upstairs and get the hot chocolate going. He just went out all suited up to go and shovel. But I'm going to go help. Don't worry. I'm going to throw on something and go and help, because that's a lot of work. I mean, a couple of years when there was like 5 inches, fine, let him go out there on his own. But we have to be careful. These are, that's a lot of snow. And the snow is heavy. It's heavy. So you want to be healthy. But secrets to finding the true love. Remember those 6 secrets. Number one, we said the first secret is that, just as a quick reminder, the first secret is that opposites attract. Remember that. Opposites attract. The second one was to remember that you can be different, but don't be too different. Don't have different beliefs and different ideologies. Try to be on the same page, have similar goals and dreams. Then we said there should be some mutual attraction. Okay, without a mutual sexual attraction, he says, and when the time comes, a healthy and happy and sex life could be doomed to fail. So you don't want to confuse passion and love and all that and commitment. You want to be able to separate all that. But there should be some physical attraction. But you don't have to have sex with them and test it out and all of that. But you just make sure the attraction is there. So opposites really do attract. Don't be too different, and have some mutual attraction. Also, number four is that friendship. Be a friend with the person. Be friendly with them. Do friendship type things, and let them be a friend to you. See in them that they are a friend to you. I tell women, a man who stands you up, trust me, you may date him for a while. You may stand you up. He goes on the blacklist. Be a good judge of character and be honest about how good it is. So that's all we have for you today. It's been great. Go out and enjoy this very, very snowy day. I thank you to those of you who did come into the chat room. You saw probably that we were still on. Kiva says, I believe it. Been approached while married. Aha. See, somebody approached you while you're still married. Kiva, it really is true, and we're going to definitely talk a little later. Somebody said, describe the nature of a predator, please. Okay, what makes them a predator? All right, I didn't get a chance to do that, and the show has almost gone off. A tea party. What makes them a predator? It makes them a predator because they want to destroy something that you have good, for the lack of a better word. But it makes them want to destroy. So a predator that wants to destroy your marriage, a predator could want to destroy your family, a predator could want to destroy you. So somebody who wants to destroy something that is good. And we certainly thank all of those in the chat room for coming in and tuning in. And those of you who have been on the switchboard, thank you, thank you, thank you. Also, I believe Deborah Calhoun is with us. Thank you, and God bless you. Good to see you here. Good to see Miss Patricia. You're true to your word. tune in, even though you are out of town. So we thank you. Thank you for doing that. And that's it. 10 seconds, no more minutes. We'll see you back. Don't forget tomorrow. Hit me up on Facebook. I love to chat with you. God bless and be a blessing.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show could be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.